We are in the second week of Advent, and normally we would be talking about love, but since we have the Christmas play, I kind of rearranged things a little bit. I skipped a week. I know I'll answer to the Father for that. I skipped the prophecy week. Normally, first week of Advent is the week of prophecy or the week of hope, where we talk about the prophetic coming of Jesus and how we can have hope because of that. And then we go to love, and then joy, and then peace. I skipped a week, so last week we talked about love. This week, I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to share some thoughts with you about joy. And I'm going to need you to bear with me because the analogy that I have for you is a little strange. But if you'll just trust me, you guys know sometimes I'll go all the way around the Beltway just to get somewhere when I could have just cut through the city. I know this. I know that. I could have just taken, you know, 295 right through. But I don't do that. Sometimes I go around the Beltway to make the case. So just stay with me because we are going somewhere. Last week I asked you, what are you known for? We talked about love. We talked about how what Jesus says is, that the way that the world will know who we are is by our love for each other and for the world. That's what I asked you last week. This week, I want to know what you're allergic to. Just bear with me. This is actually, if anybody allergic to pollen, like for real, okay, good. There's a reason for that, because that's what it looks like under a microscope. There's no way that thing is good for you. I'm sorry. That just is designed to do you damage. Look at that thing. That is a microscopic pollen thing. Germ, whatever you want to call it. What are you allergic to? I feel, since I've already seen a couple hands, I'm willing to guess. I'll guess that probably everybody in here, or most of you, either have allergies to something, or at least you know somebody in your direct connection, family member, who has allergies to something. We are allergic to everything. I'm allergic to two things very specifically. I'm allergic to cats. Listen, I know some of y'all are cat lovers. I can't with the cat. Once they get pat, like if it's a kitten, which is so cute. If it's a little soft, little fuzzy kitten. I can hold the soft, fuzzy kitten. But once they get to like the junior high age, something about what is going on with them biologically, I can't do it. If I get close to them, I begin to sneeze. If I touch them, I break out in hives. Now, I confess to you that it has been a long time since I took that risk, but I feel like I'm not one of those people who needs to test their faith and be like, in the name of Jesus, and pick up a cat. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like sometimes the Lord gave us brains that we should use. And I'll be completely transparent with you. I'm not a cat fan, not just because they make me sneeze, but also because they don't care if I live or die. Like, they're in charge. You know what I mean? Dogs are like, oh, you're home. I'm so glad to see you. And cats just roll out. And then when they need something, they'll be like, mew, and they'll come wind around your legs. And then when they're done with you, they're like deuces, and they roll out. It's okay. Cats. I'm allergic to cats. And I found out this year that I'm allergic to raw honey. I didn't know this. I didn't know that I was allergic to unprocessed honey until a friend gave me this incredible unprocessed honey from a monastery, no less, that had been mixed with a very hot pepper. It had been mixed with a ghost pepper. If any of you know about peppers or capsaicin content, I'm a hot food person. I don't do it super well. I usually weep and gnash my teeth, but I like hot food. And this was unprocessed honey that this monastery does. They have their own apiary. Is that it? Beehives. They have their own beehives, but I think it's an apiary. Thank you very much. I just pulled that out of my... Anyway, okay. So they mixed it with some... And I made a sandwich with it one morning before the gym. Because sometimes I can't work out on an empty stomach, I can't. So some mornings I will just take a sandwich, I'll slather it with peanut butter, good protein, and honey because God made honey, and it is wonderful, you know, lots of complex carbs. I mash that together, I eat it. I get to the gym and my lips are itching, and I'm like, man, my lips must be really dry. So my lips are feeling kind of funny, and then we go for like a jog, and I'm like, and it occurs to me, as we're jogging, I look at the like two or three of the people who are there, and I'm like, when you have an allergic reaction to something, can that make your lips itch? And one lady was like, yeah, your lips can itch. And I was like, is shortness of breath a thing? And she was like, you need Benadryl. And I was like, because I think that's what's happening. Because I am stubborn, and because it really wasn't that bad, and because they didn't have any Benadryl, I wasn't going to leave the gym and go get Benadryl, so I just sort of prayed. I was like, Lord, let this not be my last moments on earth. I don't want to come and meet you in my gym outfit. I'm not interested in that. Cats, I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. I've never had that allergic reaction before. I know I'm allergic to penicillin. I remember being a child, and I had a terrible asthma when I was a child that God healed me of, and that's a different story, but I had terrible asthma as a child, and so at one point, I also had an infection, and they gave me penicillin, and I spiked a temperature of 104.2, and there were purple giant blotches on me, and I just felt awful, and they were like, oh, you can't have penicillin. All of you who can take penicillin drugs, you should be thankful, because it's the best thing out there. You don't have to buy this designer stuff that absolutely runs your endocrine system into the ground. I know I'm allergic to penicillin. Those three things I know I'm allergic to. But people are allergic to all kinds of things. Some people are allergic to grass. Grass. That's not something you can get away from. I mean, not even in a metropolitan area. Do you know what I'm saying? Your life is going to be lived trying to find your way around grass. It's weird. People have all different kinds of allergies to foods. My little Hudson is allergic to peanuts, tree nuts, soy, egg, and dairy. He can't have any of that. Since that boy has been off of the bottle, he has a very specifically processed meat, like it's from a plant that we know doesn't like cross, you know, contaminate. Because for some reason, people in all different walks of life use their factories for peanuts. You know what I mean? Some candies will be like, watch out, there's peanuts in here. Wait, what? This is a lollipop. Some other places are like, watch out, there's peanuts. You know what I mean? Why is there peanuts in the milk? That kind of deal. So he's allergic to those things. Some people are allergic to fruit. I know someone who has an allergy to bananas. Can't eat bananas. I know somebody who has an allergy to sesame seeds. Can't eat sesame seeds. They have that, that kind of, you know, that my itchy lip, I can't breathe kind of reaction, which is, I think, two bizarre things to combine. Some people are allergic to sunlight. It's a very, very rare condition, and it's something like 1% or 2% of the population. But when they go outdoors, the sunlight causes on their skin an allergic reaction, and it's so intense and so energetic that it can hospitalize them or even threaten their lives. That's literally what happens in their bodies. It's not about they're getting burned. Their bodies are fighting off the sun. It's the sun. That's not something you can choose. You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't have that option in life. If you don't like Chinese food, don't eat Chinese food. If you don't want to drive one certain way, go another way. The sun's coming up whether you like it or not. And it's going to be up for most of the day. Does that make sense? That's hard. An allergic reaction, because you guys know that I like context. An allergic reaction occurs when your immune system picks a fight with something that it has no business picking a fight with. Now, thank God for our immune systems. Thank God that we have these natural defense mechanisms. Bacteria, yes, please. If you want to pick a fight with something, pick a fight with some foreign bacteria that I got from someplace because I didn't wash my hands or my kid brought it home. Thank you so much for that. And I took a big wet kiss from him. You know what I mean? So now there's this bacteria and the body goes, nope, we don't need this. And so it goes to fight that. Viruses, absolutely. Please fight a virus. Sometimes that's all you've got. If you have a virus, as you guys well know, you can go to the doctor and they'll be like, it's viral. It's that whole look that you get from the doctor. It's viral. That means we can't give you anything. That means go home, drink fluids, you know, take some over-the-counter stuff that might help to fight the symptoms. But it's a virus. You can't beat that. Your immune system is going to have to eventually push that out. That's what an allergic reaction is. Your body picks a fight with something that it has no business picking a fight with, like peanut butter. Why is my body angry? Why is Hudson's body angry with peanut butter? Like, so angry that if Hudson tries peanut butter, the body might just go, that's it, we're done, and like shut down. That's what the doctor has told us. Like, his markers for peanut butter allergy are so high, he'll never grow out of that. We have an EpiPen that we have to keep with us. Anybody know what an EpiPen is? Like, it's one of those things that it's an epinephrine injection. It's designed to keep you alive until you can get somewhere where they can give you some help. My son's body picks a fight with peanut butter. Some people's body picks a fight with pollen or grass. Some people's bodies can't handle sunlight, dairy products. Why does my body hate cat dander? What is it? Like, I'm not a fan of cats, but is my body just like, we're so not a fan of cats that we can't even stand to be around them? Like, why does the immune system go, dander, alert, alert? I don't know why that is. An allergic reaction happens when you begin to fight off something that you have no business picking a fight with. And this is the analogy that the Lord gave me for sometimes the struggle that I have with joy. Stay with me. Sometimes I think maybe I'm allergic to it. Truthfully, honestly. As soon as I start experiencing it, or maybe what I think it's supposed to feel like, my mind oftentimes will begin to attack joy as if it doesn't belong there, as if it's a thing that I don't need to have, as if it's a thing that threatens me. And that's bizarre. That's very strange, because being a follower of Christ, a hallmark of my life, something that people should be able to see, no matter where I am, no matter who I'm with, is joy. As followers of Jesus, we absolutely are to be known by our love. That's 100%. But a person of love should also be a person of great joy. That's not my words. I'll connect that for you in the scripture in a little bit. And yet, though I'm supposed to be known for my joy, and I don't mean a fake act, and we all know those folks, do we not? We know those people. They've allowed us enough of a glimpse behind the curtain of our lives that they are happy, and it's a front. And we know that. They put on this good face, but give them about 5 minutes, they're in bad shape. Doesn't take long at all. We know those people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about acting a way that you are not. I'm not talking about putting on that facade. I'm talking about being able to exude something that comes from the inside out, that's real. It's a joy, not just happiness. We sing about joy in church, do we not? We sing about joy. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy, joy. We sing about joy. This is the season for joy. We're going to sing lots of Christmas songs, and lots of them talk about joy. Now, I think probably what we do is when we sing, joy to the world, they are just words. We sing this every year. Like, we stop connecting with the fact that we are saying joy to the world, the Lord has come. Just because it's a Christmas song, right? You stop connecting to it. We talk about joy all the time in church. I talk about it a lot. I talk to you a lot about how important it is to recognize that happiness is something that comes and goes. But that joy should be sustaining. It should be something that is always present. And yet, I stand up here and I talk to you about being a joyful person, and sometimes I will see a joyful person and I will think something awful. I will see somebody and I'll be like, what have they got to be happy about? Like, what are you doing? I'll be driving in a car and I'll see somebody and they've got their heads back and they're singing. I'm like, I bet that sounds awful. Like, what? What is wrong with you? I see somebody smiling and I think, give it a second, sir, and something bad will happen to you. You know what I mean? Like, we know those people who are just so optimistic, it kind of makes you a little unsettled. You know what I mean? Like, you want to think that something is wrong with them when really it's something that's wrong with you because you're mad because you don't have what they've got. Really, it's about envy. But we look at them and go, that's not real. What is that about? It's like I'm allergic. It's like this thing that I want so much for myself. And yet at the same time, as soon as I begin to get some of it or see it or experience it, my body goes, no, put that down. That's not good. That's not good for us. Nope. No. This is when you pick up joy, something bad always happens, Ben. Don't pick up joy. Don't be joyful, because as soon as you do, we're going to wreck the car. I mean, you're going to hit something in the parking lot. As soon as you do, Hudson's going to have accident number 5 million as we are trying to potty train him. As soon as you do, the dog's going to throw up on the carpet again. Don't be joyful. Something is going to happen. It's like I try to just always not be joyful, but just be prepared. I want to be like in a good mood, but I don't want to have this joy. It's bizarre. We celebrate at Christmas the birth of the one who came to deliver us from our sins. We celebrate at Christmas the coming of the one who broke the power of death over us. And yet, our joy, it seems like it's under constant attack. It seems like when you try to be a joyful person, it's under constant attack. And what we tell ourselves is, maybe this is just me, and if this is just me, I own it. What I tell myself is, because it's connected to my circumstances, I could be a joyful person if. I would have more joy if only. If this were present in my life, I would have joy. If this over here were not present in my life, I could be more joyful. I base my ability to have and maintain and sustain joy in my life, I base that on everything that's happening around me. Like, that's what controls it. Here's the truth. If you don't have joy, that's not on your circumstances. That's not on anybody but you. because you're the one who attacks the joy that you have. That's not true, Pastor Ben. That's not true. I try to be in a good mood and something bad happens, and that something bad makes me blank, makes me frustrated, makes me sad, makes me despair. Do you hear my language there? Something from the outside has made you do a thing. And that's not true at all. It is what we think about the person. It's what we think about the situation. It's how we feel about God in that moment that determines whether or not we have joy. I'm not talking, you guys know I'm big on this. I'm not talking about that first reaction. We are human beings. We are human beings. And I know some people who are in the sunset years. Is that it? Nobody's going to throw anything at me? The sunset years, the beautiful sunsets are beautiful. Aren't they gorgeous? Lots of color. The sunset years of their lives, who have somehow just, they've come to it, they've been like, I've lived my whole life and I've realized that really everything under the sun is going to be okay. So I'm not going to let myself be turned upside down by everything that comes and goes. You probably know some of those people who just don't seem to worry about anything. That's because they got 40 or 50 years on you. And they've just learned, right? I know some people who are like that. But for most of us, we are human beings and we will have a reaction. There will be frustration. There will be anger. There will be hurt. There will be confusion. There will be some negative thing. It's what you do in the moment after that that determines whether or not you are a person of joy. And that's so hard because that doesn't seem fair, because then I'm the one who has control. And that doesn't seem real because it seems like everything around us, if you would like to know what that's called an external locus of control. If I have an external locus of control, that means it's never my fault. If I have an external locus of control, that means that I'm doing the best that I can with what I've got. But if I have an internal locus of control, then I'm responsible for how I think and how I feel, and how I interact with God. That's my responsibility. And whatever happens around me can't force me to do or feel anything. Hope that makes sense to you. Jesus was a joyful person. It's hard to get that from the one-dimensional reading we have of the Scripture, right? Whether you're reading it electronically or you're reading on the page, it is really hard to get that. Because sometimes the way that I see Jesus is this very quiet, very reserved, very somber, no joke telling, no laugh having person who just goes around and ministers to people. He's very solemn and very, the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you. Devil be gone. Heal for this. Touch the hem of my. You know what I'm saying? He's just this very low key. He was a joyful person. He was a person who was known for the joy that came out of his life. How do I know this? Go to John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15 with me. Sometimes, and listen, I know that this is scary. I know that this is scary because we are not supposed to read anything into Scripture. That is not our responsibility. We don't have that right. Scripture is the authoritative word of God. God breathed. What we have in our Bible, we believe that God gave us through people. It was a partnership. We believe that. And we do not get to look at any story. We don't get to look at any event and make any of our own assumptions overlaid over that. But I can tell you that you've got to see Jesus as a person. You've got to see him as a living, breathing, walking, working, moving person like you and me, or he becomes this example to which we can never aspire to. We can't ever attain to be like him in anything in our lives. I mean, he was just this very calm, never ruffled, everything is fine, I don't tell a joke, I don't laugh, there's no joy in my life. I mean, I have joy, but it's a very conservative joy. Jesus, are you happy? Yes. Can't you see it on my face? You can read humanity into Jesus. That's okay because he was human, just as you and I are human. In John chapter 15, this is part of the I am statements that Jesus is making when he's really trying to help his disciples connect to who and what he really is. And that's a huge concept. See, there are huge concepts that he's bringing to bear. And he's just talked about being the vine. And he just talked about how important it is that we as his people remain in him and his words remain in us. And this is what he says, John chapter 15, verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. My joy may be in you. Are you kidding? This is a guy who's known what he was born for. He's known it. This is a guy who knew that his life on this planet had a certain time span. This is a person who knew what was going to happen. At no point in time was Jesus ever like, I wonder what tomorrow holds. He understood his role. He knew that he was going to walk one day into the city of people that God sent him to, his own folks, his flesh, his blood, his people, and they were going to brutally kill him. They were going to murder him in one of the worst possible ways. They were going to almost kill him and then finally kill him. But they weren't even going to finally kill him. They were going to let him hang there until he died. He was going to be tortured and beaten, and he was going to hang in front of a ton of people almost naked while people cursed at him and spit at him. The people he was sent to were going to turn their backs on him. The people that he had spent his life teaching were going to scatter like cockroaches in the light. And yet, he's able to say to them, my joy is going to be in you. And your joy, if my joy is in you, then your joy will be full. This guy's joyful? This guy. How many of you have had everybody that you know and love turn their backs on you and then you were murdered? Nope, that's none of you because you're all here. How many of you have lost it all in just the blink of an eye and had nowhere to, there was nobody there for you? How many of you have known since your birth that you were meant for destruction, that you were going to be torn down and beat up and spit on and ridiculed? How many of you have known that? And yet, he was a person of joy. And what he wanted for him, for his people, and for us is to abide in love. See, that's the key to joy. The key to joy, to true joy, to real joy, is understanding that you are loved. It's not by accident that the second week of Advent, which precedes the week of joy, is the week of love. That's not by accident. It's not by accident. The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy. Stop right there. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all that stuff. That's not by accident that love comes before joy. That's not happenstance. Jesus said, if love abides, then joy will be full. Not anybody's joy, not your next door neighbor's joy, not that I don't want their joy, but I have a feeling that their joy might be conditional. My joy, which is not conditional, my joy, which is not determined by my circumstances, I am a joyful person, and I'm walking to the cross to die. That's a powerful statement. He says, if you keep my commandments, and we know what those are, we want it to be harder. Don't you want it to be harder? I really want following Jesus to be tougher. Because then when it's tougher, when I fall short, I don't feel so bad for myself. I'm like, wow, this is really hard. I want it to be like trying to scale a mountain. Like at some point in time, the oxygen is thin, you've run out of, I just got to go back down. But this is what Jesus said. Love God with everything that you've got. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your intelligence, all your intensity, all your intentionality. Love God with everything that you have, and love people at least as much as you love yourself. And listen, we will go out of our way to please ourselves. Yes, we will. Doesn't matter how much of a giver you are. At some point in time, you're like, I'm getting mine, and you'll buy the whatever, or you'll go to the whatever, or you'll date the whomever. You know what I'm saying? We'll go to great extent, to great lengths to please ourselves. He said, if you'll keep my commandments, there will be love for you, and if there's love for you, then there's joy. I know I'm kicking this, but I so much want this year to be different for you. I so much want this year to not go by, and you sing joy, 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 and joy to the world, and let it just be a song that washes over you. I so much want for you to be able to go home and not experience your joy being crushed by outward circumstances. Because you don't have enough money for Christmas, and that's real. That is hard when there are people in your life that you love and you want to show them how much you love them, and you are buying them another pair of socks or another coffee mug or you're just sending them a card because that's all you've got. That's hard to be joyful, but I am telling you, if you can figure out that you are living in the full love of God, you can be joyful no matter what. No matter what. Listen, we have spiritual immune systems. Do you not? Right? Aren't there times when sometimes you're somewhere or with somebody and you're like, that's not right? And you don't mean that from like a cultural standpoint. You mean something has poked you. Something inside has just been like, that's not right. We have spiritual immune systems, and they have enough of a battle with our enemy. There is an enemy out there, and I don't want to take any of this away. There's an enemy out there who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Our spiritual immune systems have enough to deal with without us undermining ourselves. Without us, as soon as we see somebody joyful and being like, I hope you get hit by a car. Now, nobody ever says that. Without seeing a person of optimism and being like, I don't know what's wrong with them, or they obviously don't have any problems in the world, or they act like they don't have, nope, no. These are people who've clued into something, who have keyed into something, who have plugged into something that goes beyond their everyday. Our spiritual immune systems have a strong enough enemy to fight. We have got to learn to live at a different place when it comes to our joy. This year, here's what I'm hoping for all of us. I hope that we will take a stand for true and for real joy, a joy that is not bound by circumstance. Jesus loved us enough to give his life. If you abide in that love, if we abide in that love, no matter what, if we abide in that love, no matter what, if we stay focused on the reality that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back, and he's coming back. That's part of what we celebrate at Christmas. Do you understand that? We don't just celebrate the wonderful story of a baby in a manger with smelly animals and the light of the star and wise men. We always say three, but we really have no idea how many. And it was in September. I'm sorry to mess with your theology and your doctrine, but Christmas was in September in Jerusalem. I know we do it in December. Don't panic. The world is still round. Everybody stay calm. If we key into that, if we clue into that reality that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and that he's coming back, then we can be people of true and real and lasting joy no matter what. Here's what happens to us in our lives. We allow our joy to be determined by our circumstances. We allow our joy to be determined by the things and the thoughts and the people and the events around us. And then we run to church on Sunday like it's urgent care to get a shot of Holy Spirit epinephrine. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong that sometimes you don't find yourself living from Sunday to Sunday because during the week you've got all of these attacks. You're undermining your ability to follow God and to live in his light and his love. And so you run to church and be like, Lord, take all of it. Stick me with the EpiPen. We don't have to do that, folks. Church does not have to be your urgent care, and the Word of God does not have to be the one thing that can save you one day a week. If you will just let the love that God has for you in, if you will abide in that love, if you will love God with everything that you have, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what your challenge, and if you will, listen, try, just try to love the people around you. Just give it the best effort that you've got. The love and God piece, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I struggle with that sometimes because he makes me angry when he doesn't do what I want him to do. I get frustrated when I pray for something over and over and over and he's just like, my will, not your will, my way, not your way, and I'm like, pfft. I get frustrated with that. But I can handle that. Love God, I'm there. I will always come back to the foundation of my faith. But love people? Really? If you can abide in the love that was big enough to save your life, and you can love God with everything that you've got, and you can love the people around you, then, my friend, you can be a person of joy no matter what. Choose joy this year. Choose joy. Have your reaction. Listen, I've told this story tons. Christmas, I'm a kid. The washer, the dryer, the fridge, and the hot water heater all go out somewhere between December 2nd and December 8th. It was a lean Christmas that year, okay? But my parents at that point were so integrated in their faith
that they didn't let it tear them up. They used every bit of savings that they had, but the savings was there. They put all that stuff back in place. I got a couple toys. Nobody died. We still ate. The lights were on. Water still came on. Choose joy this year. And every day, and every week, and every month, and every year after, choose joy. Father, if we can just somehow connect to the love that you have for us, your son Jesus said very plainly and very clearly, if we will love you with everything that we've got, if we will love the people around us with the love that you showed us, if we will abide in that love, then the joy of the risen Savior, his joy can be ours. And our joy, because of him, can be made full. Full. Not half a tank, not a quarter tank. The light hasn't come on. It's not down to E. We can be full. God, give us grace and mercy when we have our moments. We have those moments where we just are not feeling it. We have those moments when joy seems so far away. Give us grace for that. God, give us strength, Father, when it seems like everything around us truly is trying to sap our joy from us. God, give us protection from the enemy. He is a liar and a deceiver. He cannot touch our joy. He can't mess with it. It's not his. He can't touch it because the blood of the sacrifice of the cross covers us. That is an impenetrable bond. The enemy has no place and no power. He cannot steal our joy. That's a lie in Jesus' name. And we won't believe it anymore. Not after today. We won't believe it anymore. Our circumstances and our situations do not dictate our joy because it's your joy. And your circumstances and your situation didn't determine your joy. You were a person of joy all the way to the cross. I can't believe that. Father, we want to choose joy this year and every year after. Help your people, God. We pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.